W.E.B. Griffin is the number one best-selling author of more than 50 epic novels in 7 series, all of which have made the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Publishers Weekly bestseller lists. With decades of military service behind him, he first wrote under various pen names and didn't begin writing his best-selling string of military novels until he was well into his 50s. His first Brotherhood of War novel, The Lieutenants, was published in 1982 and touched off his well-known reputation for writing with historical accuracy and fascinating detail. He enjoys a well-deserved reputation as a master of the military thriller. His latest is just out, The Assassination Option, which is book 2 in the Clandestine Operations series. And it's an honor to welcome W.E.B. Griffin to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
I'm pleased to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. You know, I was mentioning of writing under the various pseudonyms, and W.E.B. Stands for your name, which is William E. Butterworth the III, and in this novel you write with your son William E. Butterworth the IV. Why was it important for you early on, and even throughout your career, to use a pseudonym?
Well, the Griffin synonym, I just finished writing the sequels to MASH, and my name was on the cover, which was funny, and the first Brotherhood of War was a serious novel, so they called me up one day and said we need a quick pen name, and a Griffin is a mythical animal with the loins of a lion and the head of an eagle, which is how colonels think of themselves, so I put that in there.
So simple as that. And yeah. Have you been comfortable with it ever since? Once it sells, you use it, right?
I have 12 or 13 altogether pen names. We started out, I was supporting 3 kids. I had to write a lot, so I use a lot of names.
The idea of, as I mentioned in the introduction, 7 series. So you have 7 series to your credit, and you do something different with each one. And I'm curious of how are they sort of born one from the other of saying, oh, okay, this is interesting, but I would like to try and do this.
Usually that's the case, but the cop series, the cops in Philadelphia asked me to write about them. And I said, I can't do that. The cops are a closed fraternity. They won't let me in. And the guy, his name is Zeb Casey. He's dead now. He was a very special guy. He worked for Internal Affairs. He said, come up, I'll get you in. And he did. And that was their idea.
How important for you, no matter what you're writing about, whether it be the military, whether it be about cops, whatever, how important is it for you to get in there, to understand the inner workings?
Well, I was lucky when I was in the Army. I was a sergeant. But I had jobs that allowed me to be around a lot of brass and a lot of spooks. And I was a fly on the wall, and I was a kid, and I was like, I took in knowledge like a sponge. So I saw a lot of this happening. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't involved. Don't misunderstand me. But I saw it happening, and that's where I got most of my background.
And obviously the military background, an incredible military background that you have, that is it through those experiences that you think to yourself that I want to write, that I want to write these down. I want to tell people a thrilling story using some of the experiences and some of the things that I've seen firsthand.
Well, I guess I've always wanted to be a writer. And I don't know how I got started, but... I don't really know how to answer your question. I'm confused.
That's okay. So how did you get started?
I was in Korea, and I was a regular Army sergeant. And they had a bunch of drafted civilian journalists who were functioning as combat correspondents, and they were a wild bunch. So my general says, get out here and control those guys. And I became very friendly with one of them, the late John Sack, who was a PFC. I just wrote a little piece about this for somebody, I forget who. I walked into the mess hall, and there was two sides, one where the sergeant sat, said first 3 grades only. And PFC Sack was sitting across the room with a sign that said 4th grade through college. We became friends, and I worked with those guys. And I said, John, what about me becoming a writer? He said, go ahead. You're better than most of these guys anyway.
And for you to get published and to have the career that you have, as I mentioned in the introduction, rather late in life to have the publishing success that you had, but obviously you were writing about a time and a place that was great interest to a great number of people.
I think that's true. Most of my fans are ex-military or ex-cops or cops or in the Army.
Yeah.
I have very few female fans. The ones I have, maybe 2% are women, but they're really enthusiastic. And the rest of the women don't like me at all.
Do you think they don't like
about me personally too?
I was going to say, do you think that is they don't like your work or they don't like you?
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay, maybe a larger story there. I think it's fascinating though, because once you hit into that, and I've been to some of your events and see people and how they respond. There is that brotherhood. There is that interest that you are writing about many experiences that they have had, that they have a commonality with, and there is a fascination there, and they let you take them on this incredible journey.
Well, I've got a deep respect for those people, and I think that comes out in what I write. I really admire the military, and I get very offended when people look down on it. And I that admiration shows through.
Right.
And I think that's why a lot of generals talk to me, because my admiration, I don't mean I was kissing them where they sit, but it genuine admiration showed through. And they told me things I don't think they would have told other people, or let me see things other people didn't get to see.
We hear a lot about the changing of the military, and I'm curious as to, having been a part of it for so long, and keeping those ties now, and talking to generals and talking to other service members, of whether you sense that or that your books are still universal, because there is a universality to being a member of the armed forces.
Well, I think that it's a shared experience. I don't care if you're in the Coast Guard or the Air Force or the Army. Just putting on the uniform sort of changes you. Makes you part of a brotherhood, if you like.
Mm. As I mentioned, the new book is The Assassination Option, a clandestine operations novel. This is book two. What did you want to accomplish in this series that you hadn't before?
I wanted to tell the story of how the CIA got started. And I was around the fringes of that, so I knew the story, and I thought it ought to be told. The difficulty they had getting anybody to recognize the Soviet Union was a threat. And I also have distaste for internecine warfare among the government agencies, and I wanted to tell the story how everybody wanted to put the OSS out of business, and yet they wanted it to take over themselves, the Hoover particularly. And it's a good story, I think, and it's by and large, is 90% true.
And that is that the case with most of your novels? 90% true?
Well, somewhere between 70 and 90, yeah.
Yeah, because you're dealing with the facts of the situation, and then there's the fictionalization of the characters and so forth.
I put in fictional characters.
Sure.
Or I sometimes make real characters say things they never said.
So in this book, where does it pick up where the first book left off?
The first book left off when they caught uranium oxide on the German submarine in Patagonia, which, by the way, is a true story.
Hmm.
Still classified, but I found out about it. I married an Argentine. Her father was a colonel. And he told me what went on down there, which is fascinating. Anyway, that's where it picks up. My young hero. Actually, that's a funny story. I live in near Pensacola, Florida, where they have the Naval Aviation Museum.
Yes.
And they had an auction to raise money for the museum, and one prize was for me to make a character in one of my books after the guy who gave the money. So Jim Crodley is an affluent builder. He used to fly helicopters in Vietnam. who made a substantial contribution to the Aviation Museum, Naval Aviation Museum, and I promised to put him in the book as a character. He took over the series.
That's a nice prize.
That was completely unexpected.
It's a very nice prize.
I was about 40 pages into the book, and all of a sudden, boom, the guy I had him as a minor character. I had him sitting in a Jeep watching people crossing the border. All of a sudden, boy, he fits in here like a glove. So I put him in. Now he's the hero of the series.
Well, the book is The Assassination Option, a clandestine operations novel. It is published by Putnam. W.E.B. Griffin, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much, Bill. Very nice to speak with you.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, and to you. Again, the name of the book, The Assassination Option. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.